Will the children come forward as we continue to worship God with our fellowship together? Just gonna have a seat. Hi, Elena. Ella. Brighton. Hi, Briley. Hi, Eliana. Have you ever been to a farm? Have you ever seen sheep up close? Does anybody farm sheep here? Anybody have sheep as their livestock? Anyone? Anybody know a sheep farmer? Okay. Sheep stink, right? They bite. They smell. And back in the times of the Bible.
My sheep don't bite.
Really? You must have some great sheep. But back in the times of the Bible, being a shepherd wasn't the greatest job, and it wasn't very popular. And so it's kind of weird for Jesus to say he was the good shepherd. But the thing about shepherds that people didn't like was they smelled like the sheep. And they had to be out in the hot sun, and they were always with the herd, or they'd have to go and grab someone after one of the sheep after they run off. And you know the thing about sheep is?
My sheep don't run off.
Really? You must be a good shepherd then.
My sheep like me.
Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus said as the good shepherd that his sheep know the sound of his voice. That might be why they like you. They know the sound of your voice. And so we can know the sound of Jesus' voice when we read the Bible and when we pray and when we worship God and when we listen and honor our mother and father as they teach us about Jesus too. But Jesus, he's a shepherd that smells like the sheep. So he's willing to sit with us when we're hot in the pews, and maybe we don't want to sing, right? Like earlier today, I just kind of felt like it was better for me to just sit down with you guys because it was kind of hot, and we were going to sing and dance, but it was hot today. So I just decided to kind of, well, maybe I could be like Jesus today, and I can sit with you guys. So isn't that cool that Jesus smells like the sheep, and the sheep know his voice, and that you can know Jesus' voice too? That you can just know it's Jesus. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for being our good shepherd. And thank you that you smell like your sheep. Thank you for leading us, for protecting us, and for running after us and bringing us back, even when only one of us wanders away. We love you, Jesus. Amen. It's good to see you.
The gospel reading this morning comes from the book of Mark. We're going to start out with Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 34. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him that all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure event to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And then we jump into Mark chapter 6, verse 53 through 56. When they had crossed over, they came to a land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched him were healed. So ends the reading.
This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us say together, thanks be to God. Amen. How many of you had a busy week? Have you ever had those weeks where there's so much going on, everyone's going to and fro, and you're like passing ships? You're lucky if you can even have dinner together once a week. I remember at seminary when I was working three jobs, and I would be lucky to see my family for, what, an hour a day, and then come home and sleep, and I'd either be doing homework, or I'd be working security, or I would be working at the library, or it just never seemed to end. And that was what it was like for those disciples. The disciples, what have they been doing? Jesus sent them out with authority, two by two, right? And he sent them out to preach the good news. And what was the good news? It was good news for the poor. It was to proclaim the kingdom of heaven has come near. Repent and believe in the gospel. Believe in the good news. And they went about preaching repentance, teaching, healing, and they were delivering people from the influence of evil spirits, right? So here we have Jesus. He's commanding his apostles to rest. Has anyone ever told you you need to take a break? The other night, someone had to tell me after a meeting, go home, Zach. We've got it. The apostles gathered around Jesus, and they told him all, there's that word again, all, that they had done and taught. We as Christians, we need to be open with Jesus and to share with God our days, everything we've done, everything we've taught, everything we've lived. And we start to get a more honest picture of what's really happening. And sometimes I find it helpful to just at the end of the day or the beginning of the day to give my plans to the Lord, or at the end of the day to just thank him for everything that's done or the things that are left undone. Ask him to hold it until the next day. But it helps me to realize that I have a lot to be thankful for and that God was with me even if I didn't get everything done. And for the things that I did get done, I can praise God that he helped me get them done. Amen? So Jesus says to them, after they told him all that they had done and taught, because disciples of Jesus Christ are accountable to Jesus. Jesus attends to them. He said to them, come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while. And for many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. When was the last time you honored the Sabbath? You took a day off and you kept it holy? When was the last time you took a real day off where you recharge your spiritual, your emotional batteries, where you reconcile any unrest in your closest relationships? Some might call it a personal day. But I strongly encourage you, please take a day off. You'll be amazed at what God can do with that day to help you to refocus on what's most important. And so that God can attend to you. Because he cares about you and he loves you and he wants to know what's been going on. He wants to take things off of your plate. I know for some of us and for me, it's hard to unplug. It's hard to de-stress because I'm always coming and going. I've lost track of how many meetings I've had. They've been great meetings, hard meetings, but good meetings. But I just come home and I'm just exhausted and spent. And all I can do is just sit and listen to my wife share about all the joys of her day. And it makes me feel human again. But have you ever taken a retreat with Jesus? Have you ever taken time to just spend time with Jesus? Just for the sake of spending time with Jesus? It might seem like you're wasting time, but Jesus would be willing to waste all the time for you. He's extravagant in his love. He's that good shepherd that would run out of the way and leave the 99 and go get the one and bring them back home, no matter how far they'd nibble themselves away. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. and he leads me in right paths for his name's sake. And even if those right paths cause us to walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. For you are with me. Christ, you are with us. Your rod, your discipline, and your staff, your boundaries for us, your guidance, your word, they comfort me. And earlier in Jeremiah, the prophet warned us, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. It's you who scattered my flock and have driven them away. And why? Because you have not attended to them." Are there people in your family, in your life, close relationships, that you've been so busy it's been hard to attend to those relationships? I took Friday off. Friday is my day off. And I left the work as much as I could at church. I just left it all. Things were left undone. A lot of things were left undone. And Friday, I spent the day with my family. And I recharged. And we had fun. We did things around the house. And Julie and I went on a date. And how long has it been, honey? We've lost track of how long it's been. But we had a great date. We went on a date. We had date night. We went out to eat. Had some Italian. Went and had Whitey's ice cream. It was great. Dropped off Eliana at Grammy's house. She didn't want to leave. It was good. I'm so thankful to this church for holding me accountable and to helping me to take a day off, and for our staff. And God says that I myself will gather the remnant, everyone who's left, who's willing to come back out of the lands where I've driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. Have you heard that before? Be fruitful and multiply. Anyone know where that's from? Any guesses? It happens twice. When God creates creation, he tells it to the animal. Actually, it happens three times. He tells the animals to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. But then he tells Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. And then after the flood, after Noah and his family survives the flood, when there's the rainbow and God makes his covenant, he says the same thing, be fruitful and multiply. We're called to be fruitful. We're called to be life-giving. And we're called to make disciples of Jesus Christ, amen? For the transformation of our community. For the transformation of the world. So we're called to be fruitful and multiply. It's always good to have that reminder that it's not just about us and in the present, but it's about the next generation. And that our lives impact other lives all the time. We're never alone. God says that he will raise up shepherds, plural, over them who will shepherd them. And they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing. And here at this church, I'm here. I've been called by God, appointed by the bishop of the United Methodist Church, the Illinois Rivers Conference, overseen by District Superintendent Reverend Sylvester Weatherall here in the Spoon River District. I'm here to help shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd, so I kind of think of myself more as the sheepdog. And he'll send me out, and I'll do the best I can. But I'm being shepherded by Jesus. He calls the shots, as far as I'm concerned. And one of the things that I've been communicating in all these meetings I've been going to, and I want to thank all of you who've gone to those meetings, and for those of you who will come to more meetings, I thank you in advance, and I'm praying for you. But there's been two things the Lord has laid on my heart when it comes to being a leader here in this church. And I want to see if this is something that maybe resonates with the church. But the first thing is accountability. See, Jeremiah talked about that, what was the word? Nor shall any be missing. All will be accounted for. And the disciples told Jesus all they did and taught. They were accountable. And I want to be accountable. And so I want our church to have a culture of accountable leadership. That's why I want, for every count we take, I want a name for every number. So that's why when the, has the clipboards been gone through, Marvin? Have people signed the clipboards? That's so helpful for me to know who's here. And so I know who are new, people who haven't been back in a while, people who might be curious in learning more about the church, people who might want to meet with me, people who are visitors that we can thank and welcome them and invite them back. It's been so helpful because instead of just having a count, there's a name for every number because people mattered to Jesus. You mattered to Jesus, and so you matter to me. I'm doing my best to learn your names, and I thank you that you've been able to learn my name. You all have been great with that. The other thing is that we're going to take minutes at all of our meetings so that whenever people can't be there, the information is there. It's accurate. It's honest. So that the ministry that we do as leaders in the church will be open and clear and be able to be communicated as needed so that we won't have to go back and be like, well, what did we say again? It's been 2 weeks. I can't remember that. Another thing, I've talked about the Sabbath. We've had a day off, which is wonderful. But that also, we're going to report our attendance and our membership each week to make it easier for us to do charge conference paperwork, which this is my first time doing charge conference paperwork. How many of you have done charge conference paperwork before? Thank you, Dean. Thank you, Julie. I'm going to need help. And as a pastor, I also plan to join what's called a covenant group. That's where I meet with other pastors so that they will pray with me and we can pray together and I can be accountable to them. And they have more wisdom and they can help me so that I make good decisions and I have good discernment to lead you in this church because I don't want to reinvent the wheel. That's why as we've been creating policies, we've been looking to other churches who are farther along in that process and they can help us share their policies so that we can learn from one another. And that's what's great about being United Methodists. And my Sabbath, I shared a little bit about it, but my Sabbath focus is on attending to my family and worshiping God with them at home. And I try to fast. This is a new thing. I'm trying to fast from internet and social media. So if you catch me on Facebook or you catch me texting or anything like that, just tell me, hey, it's Friday. You're fasting today. So let's go back to the gospel. Now many saw them coming and going and they recognized them. They recognized them. Them. The disciples. The followers of Jesus. That when we are filled with the Holy Spirit and our focus is on Jesus and we're doing the same things that Jesus did and taught us to do, people are going to recognize us. We are going to stand out. But we're going to be blended in as disciples of Jesus, as Christians. They recognize them. That's so remarkable. And recognizing the disciples, the people, the crowds hurried there on foot from all the towns. And they even arrived ahead of them. And as they came ashore, Jesus saw a great crowd. And this is the word I wanted you to hear today. Jesus had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, this is a deserted place, and the hour is now very late. Send them away, and that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy something for themselves to eat. But Jesus answered them, you give them something to eat. The other aspect of, besides accountable leadership, is as your pastor, I want to empower us and that we would be a church empowered. An empowered, the fancy word is laity, but the empowered membership, the empowered body of Christ, that we all have a ministry, we all have a role, and we're all important. And that if you have an idea or a ministry or something that you want to do for Christ, maybe something new, I want to give you the grace and the freedom to fail, even. I want to give us the grace and freedom to fail and to try something new if God gives us an idea or something in our heart we want to share or something we want to do for Jesus. That might be a little outside the box, that we would have the grace and freedom to fail. And here Jesus is with them, and they're with this big crowd, a hungry, restless crowd, and he says, you give them something to eat. Now we're going to come back to this in the coming days, but Jesus had compassion on them. Compassion. Compassion is an expression of the Holy Spirit. Compassion is not charity. Charity is where you feel sorry for people and you want to help them, but you want to do something for them. Compassion comes from seeing people in their need, but seeing people and feeling sorry with people. Compassion is a Holy Spirit-formed disposition. It's an orientation deep within our inner person. It's an orientation toward the other and toward God. It's an expression of the love of God in us. Compassion is not what we do with our loose change. It's a way of being in tune with other people, seeing past their need and into their nature. Compassion happens when the brokenness, when our fragility, our being made in the image of God, but our sin has messed us up, and we feel that brokenness in another, that this is someone who's created in the image of God, and I can identify with that brokenness. I've been there, or I'm willing to be there with them. Compassion moves us from the posture of helping a brother out to the place of holding a brother's pain. It's hard, and it has a high cost, and it's more than money. It requires giving ourselves away. It's not about giving more. Compassion is about giving all. It's about being with people. It's about becoming a new kind of person. And this is what was happening to the disciples. People recognized them because they were doing what Jesus did. But as we'll see later, people will not just recognize them, but they'll be so focused on him. They will recognize Jesus in them, in us. They will see Jesus. See, this new person is Christ. He is the new creation. He is the second Adam. And it is in Christ we who were once far off have been brought near by the compassionate blood of Christ. The blood of Christ that was shed on the cross where Jesus identified and was not sorry for, but sorry with the terrorists and the criminals, the murderers. Jesus identified with them. Even though he wasn't a criminal, he wasn't a sinner. But he saw that they were made in the image of God. And he felt and took upon that brokenness. In Corinthians, it talks about how he became sin who knew no sin, so that we might become his righteousness. Jesus is the Lord, our righteousness. He is our peace. Let's say that together. He is our peace. In Christ's flesh, he has made both groups into one. The us and them, the insiders and the outsiders, and broken down the dividing wall that is this hostility between us. Last week I talked about that will to power, the will to control, wanting people to change the way we want them to change. But through forgiveness, we can free ourselves from the hurt they've caused us and free them into the arms of Jesus. He is our peace. And Jesus abolished the law, all the legalism with its commandments and ordinances, all the things about doing. It's all about what you do that matters to God. No, it's about who we are that matters to God. And who we are in Christ changes the things that we do. That Jesus might create in himself one new, not just a person, but humanity. In place of the two, making peace. Why? Because Jesus is our peace. That he might reconcile both groups, not only with each other in him, but to God through the power of the cross. Putting to death all the hostility of sin and evil and the things that lead to death. See, Jesus came and proclaimed peace to us who are far off. In John's gospel, Jesus says, "My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus proclaimed peace to us who are far off and peace to us who are near. And through him, we both have access in one spirit, the Holy Spirit, to God the Father. We're invited into that beautiful, dance of holy love we talked about last week. Because we're no longer strangers or aliens, but we're citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. We're not just part of the church, but we're part of God's family. Built upon the foundation of the apostles in the New Testament and the prophets of the Old Testament. Because Jesus upholds everything that is written and proclaimed and has been passed on to us in the Bible. He is the living Word of God. If you want to know Jesus, open your Bibles and ask Jesus, "Where are you? Show me who you are." Because Jesus Christ himself is our cornerstone. Jesus is the reason for all that we do and all that we are as a church. And so I hope that we in ministry together, as we plan and we work together and we focus on making disciples, everything we do will be focused on Jesus. When a meeting gets tough and we're having trouble getting past something or we can't come to an agreement, we can stop and say, "Wait, what does this have to do with Jesus? How does this connect people with Jesus Christ?" In Christ, our whole structure is joined together and we grow into a holy temple set apart for God, in whom in Christ we are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. See, Jesus makes us safe people so that we can be a safe church. And that when people come to see us and they see Christ alive in us, they know that they are safe because they're with Jesus. So here's the great thing. We skipped to verse 54 back in Mark's gospel. And this is the great thing that's happening, that's incredible. After Jesus had fed the 5,000 and after they go across to the other side and after Jesus calms the storm, they get out of the boat. And people at once recognized him. They didn't just see the disciples. They saw Christ. They saw Jesus. And they began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever Jesus went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces. And they begged him that all might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all, everyone, every single person who touched it, who touched him, were healed. Just by being in the presence of Jesus. When we come into the presence of Jesus, we find healing and wholeness. We remember who we are. And so today, I just wanted to give us the time and the space, even though it's hot, and even though we might have things on our mind about where we have to go or what we have to do today, I want to welcome you to come and be with Jesus before you go. This altar is going to be open for people to come and receive the compassion of Jesus for us. And over here, there's been some prayer cards that have been passed out. And this is a box to continue what we started last week. If you are on a journey of forgiveness and God has given you the courage and freedom to forgive someone, and to free them to Jesus, or you would like to confess, this is the Just for Jesus box. This will not be opened, and everything in here is for Jesus. And then over here, if you want to share the compassion of Christ with others, if there's someone in your life that you know that doesn't know Jesus Christ, and you want them to know Jesus Christ, whether through you or through this church, or through the prayers of people around the world that are praying for the church, write their name down and put it in that basket. I'm going to pray over those names. And I hope that that list of names grows. And I hope that we can have a wall of people we're praying for. So that we're not just focused on our needs and me and Jesus, but we're focused on our community and those we love. And the people who aren't here who need the love of Jesus. And if there's any of us here who have been here, but we have never experienced that love of Jesus for ourselves. Not just that God loved the world and sent his son to die for us, but that God sent his son to come and rescue me. And loved me for who I am. Not for what I do. So at this time, I'm just going to sing a song of invitation. It's called "Come As You Are." And I want to invite anyone who would feel like to pray, whether you come forward or not, if you want to raise your hand, if you have an unspoken prayer request that I forgot to ask you about when we were praying earlier, I just want us to feel the freedom to come to Jesus, our good shepherd, the one who loves us and who cares about us. May you go filled with the love of Jesus Christ. Be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to love others, to do no harm, and to do good. May you share the compassion of Jesus that you have received today with others and know that Jesus loves you. Amen.